6 tonight. All of you old school, super spiritual people know where I'm going with this tonight, and I hope that you chime in and help me out. We talk about the full armor of God. And in Ephesians, what you've got, and I always like to give a little background, is you've got Paul the Apostle. This is a Paul night. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he's kind of encouraging them and, you know, kind of giving them a lot of, you know, really important stuff. We're going to, like, I'm old school on this. This is like what you got in Sunday school, but it is so relevant to us. And it's something I personally don't do and think about like I should. So we're going to get some, this is going to be some real deal, old school, however you want to say it, teaching tonight. I really want us to lock into this. But Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. So if you want to imagine kind of where Ephesus is, that's where he's writing to the church. He's gone through and he's told the church a lot of great information. If you want to read Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, there's so much good, just amazing information, amazing clarity from God in Ephesians. So if y'all want to dive into that in your own personal studies, I think it's a fantastic letter. All of his letters are great. But we've gone through and he's talked about how wives and husbands should interact. He's talked about children and parents and how they interact. He's talked about slaves and masters and how they should interact. And in chapter 6, the last thing he talks about is the armor of God. And it is so relevant to us each and every day, and it's so relevant no matter where you are in your walk with God, whether you're just starting, whether you're wherever you're at. It's important for us to remember these things and to think, God, how's this going to apply to me today? But I am teaching you, not Sid, so it's going to be like through my mind, okay? So y'all going to have to hang on for a second. Cindy, you got my first video queued up? So this is what I think about when I read this and when I think about putting on the full armor of God. Cindy's gone. That's House Fires. It's good, but not how I think of it. It's a good song. That is a good song. This is not it. But we could listen to this song and worship, and it'd be awesome. It's all right. What's the name of that one, Linda? Open Space. You got it, Cindy? Is it going to work? If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. Here we go. Say it when you know it. Which one? Go. It's getting serious now. All right, that's it. Which one is it? Second one? Rambo, First Blood, Part 2. I want you guys to remember what I'm talking about tonight. So I want you to watch that, because every time I read about the armor of God, I think about Rambo suiting up. That's not the one I wanted to find. I wanted to find the other one. There's a longer one. No, that's the one I told you. There's another one that's even better and more epic. I mean, when you tie your bootlaces with such authority, you are ready for business. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people went enlisted in the military after they watched Rambo movies, because they thought, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be that cool. He is putting on his armor in that movie. He's getting ready. He even has a box of explosive tips, and it even says explosives on it. I've always loved that. It says explosives on the box. I mean, that's how serious this guy is. He had business to do. We should be doing the scripture that I'm about to read, and that's kind of off the cuff, and that's kind of funny, but it's also very true. Very serious about what we're doing. We need to get up every morning. I always think about doing this in the morning, but you can do this anytime. If you're about to go into a situation, if you're about to, you know, start your day, end your day, whatever the situation is, this scripture is so relevant. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to start reading in verse 10 is where we start picking up on the armor, the full armor of God. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." I want to stop right there, and it says very specifically, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That is something that you have to remember as you walk this life, is Rambo's doing this all in his power because he was a bad joker. We're not that. We must operate in God's power. When we get outside of God's power, God's will, God's authority, and we start taking on our own authority and our own will and our own stuff, we will lose that power. Okay, it's not real then. It's something that we're making up. So you have to stay inside God. So that's very important to remember as we talk about this. This is not doing this in and of ourselves. This is doing it through God. So, verse 12. For our struggle, and this is classic, this is, put this in your heart, this scripture, verse 12, chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You've seen it on t-shirts and everything else, but it's so true. Burn this in your heart. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This world is a dark place. The Word is clear on the fact that this world is a dark place with the absence of God. Now, what we're supposed to do is bring heaven to earth. We're supposed to bring light to this earth. And that's what we do. We have full authority to do that because He says that we have full authority to do that. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, when you first started this in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We are blessed and we have authority. But when we're not there and we're not doing what we're called to do, there is darkness. You can look at the world and say it can be a dark place. Humanity in and of itself without God is a dark, sad, scary thing. So God has already won this war. He's already won this battle. He's already defeated Satan. He's already defeated the enemy. But we still live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. Okay, that's why we have to put this armor on. There is still an enemy out there that hates us and wants to destroy us and wants to come against us. Let's pick up in verse 13. Therefore, and this is where we're going to go, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, it does not say if the darkness comes. It does not say, therefore put on the full armor of God so that if the dark day of evil comes. And so it says so that when the dark day comes. And I think everybody in this church, and I know you guys have been here enough to hear this enough, that If anybody tells you there are no dark days once you get saved, that is not true. That is a lie from Satan to make you feel defeated. There are dark days. There are difficult days that are going to come. They are going to come. And they're going to come one after another after another. They're going to come. And this is all about how we prepare for that. How do we deal with that day when it comes? How do we deal with that disappointing news when it comes? How do we deal when we mess up and we fall and we stumble, or people that we look up to fall or they stumble, or cancer comes, sickness comes, death comes, all these things come. How do we deal with that? Because it's going to come. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. I mean, it's going to come. Okay, guys? So, if we know something's going to come, if you were in Panama City 2 weeks ago watching the news and you knew this thing was coming, what should you have done? Prepared. You should have left. You should have prepared. You knew it was coming, and most people did. I mean, you got the people that don't, and you see what happened to people that did not prepare. You know, people's lives were lost in that. We know that we're going to have to walk in this world. We know we're going to have to get up every day, not just on wonderful Sunday mornings. We can come in here and sing praise and worship music, and everything's great. We're going to have to get up on Tuesday morning when you've got deadlines, if you're up against, that your kids are running all over the place. I mean, me and Cammy are running like crazy this week. It's like almost to the point of maddening. And you all live there. I know you all do. It's almost maddening how crazy life is sometimes. And so we know these days are coming. So how foolish would it be for us not to prepare for that? For us not to put our faith in God, and for us not to ask God, all right, God, how should I make it through this? That's what putting on our armor is all about. Verse 14, stand firm then. Here we go. We're going to go through, and I want to talk about just a little bit of what it all is. And you know, you can put our little man back up there if you want to, Cindy. I want to keep in context, and we're going to watch a little clip in a minute that will help you see what I'm seeing. Again, I'm sorry, that's just how my mind works. So, you got to remember, he's writing this in there in Roman rule. So you imagine a Roman soldier, and that's usually what we always do on the felt boards when we're in vacation Bible school and stuff. But it's very accurate as to what Paul was imagining, what Paul was seeing, and the kind of soldiers and warriors that we had. Our soldiers and warriors wear similar things, but they're a little bit different. They're more modern, but warfare is still warfare, and armor is still armor, and they all still have purpose. So, the first thing that they start off with that we talk about that Paul wants us to put on every day, in verse 14, it says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the... let's stop there. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So, you can imagine the belt that he's wearing that you see right there. It's going to hold your sword. It's going to hold your pants up or whatever. I don't know what all belts' purposes were, because they had funny clothes back then. But it's something that wraps around you, right in the middle of you. And if you do not know truth, if we do not understand truth, and this is where I want to tie it into where we've been as a church and where you guys have been every time y'all come here, is the truth of who we are in God. That's the part that Satan wants to steal from you. If he can steal that from you, and if he can tell you a lie, because it calls him a liar and a deceiver. That's what he does. He lies to you constantly. He constantly lies to you. He'll give you a little bit of truth, a little bit of something, but there's going to be a lie in it somewhere. So what he wants to do is he wants to come in and he wants to tell you that you're not significant, you're not important, what you're doing is not important, you've messed up so many times. I mean, everybody, you know, we're doing the chatterbox thing. You hear this stuff all the time of your failures and your mess-ups and you're no good and you're useless. If you buy that, then your sword's going to fall off, your pants are going to fall off, it's all going to be bad. You have no basis for who you are. So you first have to start with truth. I think it's important that he started with truth. We have to understand truth. And one of the many truths we need to understand, we need to understand the truth of God's love for us. We need to understand who we are in God. And I think that's one thing I feel like the church is really, and I'm talking about our church, and the church as a whole is starting to understand a little bit, is we're loved, you know, and it's coming out in our worship, and it's coming out in sermons that you hear from that people aren't connected to one another, And God's really trying to say, you're chosen, you're not forsaken. You are who I say you are. I sent my Son for you to die for you because you're so important, you're so special, you're so worth it. You have a purpose. Everyone has a purpose. So, we start off with the belt of truth. And I remember being in VBS, and you know, we'd like make stuff and put it on. Whatever you got to do to make this real in your life, do it. Think about this thing, these things. Really, really say, all right, God, I'm going to accept your truth. Take this scripture out and say, I want to accept your truth as to who I am. Continuing on in 14. Yep. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. So the breastplate is, you can see the breastplate right there. Obviously, it's your covering your midsection, it's covering your heart, covers your shoulders. And when I was kind of looking up some stuff for this at work today, they were showing how the Roman armor was designed to take abuse. Before it, they had that little mesh metal stuff. What do they call that? That they would wear that. But they found that it, an arrow could pierce through it pretty easily. It wasn't the greatest. The Romans were the most awesome fighting force on the planet. And so they were really, really good at this. So they developed different armor. They developed a breastplate that would take abuse. It was almost scaled. It would give a little bit. They even compared it to like shoulder pads and stuff that the guys in the NFL wear, where you know they move, but they still protect. This breastplate of righteousness is going to protect and accept blows to your heart, to your vitals, the things that make you beat. And work every day. Satan wants to attack that. If he can get a heart shot on you, that's what he wants. He wants to take you out. He wants to get that thing out of that makes you pump. You're very familiar with it right now. He wants to get that. But if we put this breastplate of righteousness, remember we're talking spiritual here. I'm not wanting you guys to dress up like medieval knights. It's going to be weird. I'm talking about spiritually put this thing on. Not our righteousness. Again, this is very important. If you're putting on your own righteousness that you've figured out yourself and that you've worked really hard to be righteous because you've done the right thing and this and this and this, that you've made yourself right, that's no good. That's going to be like that chainmail, whatever stuff. An arrow's going to go right through it. Your righteousness has to be found in Jesus Christ. It's because you're accepting what He did for you. You're accepting the blood that He shed for you. You're accepting His righteousness to make you righteous. That's how. And then through that, amazingly, you are righteous. It's how God works. Because when you accept Him and who He is, you do become righteous. So put that on every day. Put that on every day to protect yourself from those attacks to your body, to your heart, to this part that makes your lungs, everything that makes you work and function. It's our faith in Christ. Okay, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes that comes from the gospel of peace. So basically, you know, your feet were exposed, and when we get to the shield, you'll almost see it. But your feet were exposed, you know, and they didn't have shoes like we have shoes now with boots, like Rambo strapped on. You know, they were like sandals, and they would put these leather things around them. But your feet were susceptible to things. The enemy would put out things that would pierce your feet and grab your ankles and stuff like that all over the battlefield if they were advancing. They would want to slow you down, and they knew that you were exposed and your feet were exposed and everything. So that's why it's kind of in the armor to protect that. But it's interesting what Paul says to protect it with. He says to protect it with peace. The gospel of peace. I think what he's wanting to say is you cannot be stationary. That's how I take this part of it. When you talk about the gospel of peace, what is the purpose of the gospel? purpose of the gospel is who we are, our salvation. But what are we supposed to do as Christians with it? We are supposed to take it, absolutely. We're supposed to share it. And we cannot do that standing still. I cannot share with somebody the love of Jesus Christ if we don't get on a plane and fly to the Philippines, like Brother Jeff does, and get out and get his feet dirty and live in a shack somewhere and tell people about Jesus. It has to happen for those people. We have to do it in our communities. There's so many different ways, and God's got us in different places to do it different ways. But we have to use these feet to spread peace, not war. Not war. See, that's different. That's the different thing about our faith and the Muslim faith. Okay, they want, if you do not believe, they want to kill you. You are useless to them. Honestly, they want to kill you anyway. They really don't care if you believe. They just think you should die. Jesus Christ wants everyone to live. He wants everyone to hear that they are loved, that they are chosen, they are not forsaken. Every person that's ever been born on this planet, He died for them. And so if we do not tell them, then we are failing at what we're supposed to do. That's part of our mission. That is our mission. So I think that's very important that he says to guard your feet with the gospel of peace. Well, that has to move. To be a good soldier, you have to move. You have to move forward. You have to move forward in what God's wanting us to do. So that's a huge part. Let's see. Please do. What you got shared in here? It's already going to be so messed up with my videos and stuff. Okay.
God's been showing me about peace a lot lately, and one of the ways is through the song Peace that Amanda Cook sings is, you know, peace is a promise. And so sometimes when I'm not feeling that, I'm just, you know, I just begin to say, this is a promise you have made me, so I'm going to have it. And so I think about that sometimes, I guess with the armor of God too. It's not a matter of can we have it or should we. It is a promise that we will have it. And so beyond that, I heard Bill Johnson preach a few weeks ago about peace. And one of the things that he said, it really helped. I've kind of paired it with that peace of the promise, and it's really helped me walk in more peace lately of, when you find yourself in those moments of unrest or not full of peace, you have to go back and find out where you dropped it. Retrace your steps back to where did I misplace my peace. And like for him, like I think his situation was, you know, a few days before something had happened, and since then he had not felt peace. And so he retraced mentally back to that moment and said, I am full of, you know, he kind of just reclaimed it again. And I thought that was so applicable to what I could do of, sometimes I think because I believe in my spirit, the peace, my body feels it before my heart does. And I'll just begin to feel an unrest before my mind does. And as it kind of catches up with me, it's helped me to kind of go back, okay, where did I drop it at? Or where did I leave it? And go back to that and say, no, it's mine because it's a promise. And then I'm able to walk in that peace again. So those are two things that have helped me in the last few weeks, kind of live in that peace instead of kind of it coming and going, is those two things.
It's a decision, I think. It's something that we have. This is, putting on this armor is a decision that we make. And yes, those times that you lose that peace and you do. That's fantastic. You go back and find where you've lost it. You know, everything, your day is going great, and all of a sudden something happens that throws you off. You know, how many times does that happen during the week? You know, man, this day was going great till blank happened. This happened or whatever, and it makes us lose that peace. Well, yeah, we need to go back, but we need to confront it. We need to deal with it. And that's so much about what this is about. This is not a passive thing. Putting on the armor of God is not a passive thing. We don't put this armor on to stay in the tent and hide from the enemy. This is God showing us how to attack and how to deal with things and how to be on the offensive. Be defended while you're on the offensive. That's what this is about. This is about going out and taking hold of things and telling Satan, get out of here, you have no place here. My king has already defeated you. You have no place. You have no place in my heart. You have no place in this situation. You're gone. And we're protected through that. through the way God's told us. Absolutely. So peace is huge. Sorry, finding all this because it's all pretty quick in the verses. Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. Cindy, you can get that next one ready. I want y'all to watch this. This is a, I don't know, I was just trying to find a visual of what the shields would have looked like. So this is, it looks like some weird reenactment they were doing in Germany, but it's very accurate. From everything I've read, how they're going to march around is that accurate. I want y'all to watch, and we may even pause it and just talk about a little bit. This would be like a little Roman unit. And I don't know how you get into Roman reenactments. It seems odd to me, but it's helpful, so we can see it. The little commentary said they were giving their orders in Latin or something. So this is what a Roman unit would look like. All right, Cindy, pause it right there if you want to. All right, so you see their helmets, the breastplates that they're wearing, see how they're ribbed and everything. And everything I read about this actual reenactment thing, they said this is super accurate. That's their shields. These Roman shields are very distinct in how they look. There's different shields, and if you study all that warfare back then, you can almost tell what army it is by the shape of their shield and how it was designed. The Roman shield had a very distinct design, and you'll see here in a second one of its great functions. The outside of it, they say, would have been covered in leather. These were almost plywood. They weren't metal. Maybe some of them were metal, but they were almost a plywood so that they could curve them. It had purpose to bring protection kind of around you. Instead of being flat, it would bring it around you a little bit. But they covered them in like a leather. And before a battle, they would soak them in water. Why did they do that? Exactly. Because they were being arrows being shot at them that were ignited, that were on fire. So they didn't want their shield to burn up, especially if it's a wooden kind of shield up under that. So that was how warfare happened. It says that when we use this shield of faith, that we are able to extinguish the enemy's fiery arrows. This is very real to Paul, is how the warfare worked. Satan is going to not only shoot arrows at us, he's not only going to make things difficult, but he's going to try to light those things on fire. And the only thing that can protect us from that is our faith in God. That's the only thing. Our faith in God is, there seems like there's something in baptism about this, being wet and covered and saturated, that allows that. I wasn't able to develop that. There may be something there, maybe not. I don't know. But prepare. God wants us to prepare for these fiery arrows that are coming our way. He's telling us it's coming. It's going to come our way. Go ahead and keep playing it, Cindy. We'll let them get to the interesting part there. But you see how they're shaped and everything. Of course, they're carrying a spear, which is not part of the armor, but they all have a sword on, which is part of it that we'll see in a minute. But I want you guys to watch, and there's something I think is very, very important to our faith that I want you guys to see how this works out and how this would have worked out in Roman times, how it works out in the spiritual for us right now. Imagine that shield of faith, and you see all those individual soldiers walking with their individual shields that provide individual protection. And that's what faith does. When you're out alone on the battlefield, that thing is designed to protect you and protect you alone. But there's a part of what they're about to do that changes everything right there. You see that? This is how they would have approached an enemy that was overwhelming them. They would have gotten together, and they would have put those shields together, and the guys in the middle put theirs over their heads. How are you going to stop that? Your arrows aren't going to stop it. Boulders aren't going to stop it. Your swords aren't going to stop it. How are you going to stop that? They would approach the enemy in a protected state. You can pause it, Sandy, or stop it. Back it up a little bit. I want to leave that image up there. In church, with our brothers and sisters, so many times we just scatter on the battlefield and we say, I'll fight mine, you fight yours, you fight yours, and I'll encourage you from, hey man, you keep going, but I'm over here fighting my battle. I'm doing my own thing because I've got a shield, I've put on all this stuff, and we'll see in a minute, I've got my sword, I've got my helmet, and hey, I'll fight mine, you fight yours. God did not call us to fight that way. Paul, God did not call you to be an island by yourself. He did not call me to be that way. Can we fight that way? Yes. Does this formation get busted up sometimes? Yes. Do you need to know how to fight? Yes. Do you need to be able to stand on your own at some point just with the power of God? And when I say on your own, I mean in God's power and fight. Yes, that's going to happen to you. But there are times, guys, in your guys' lives and in everybody in this room's life that you better have some people that you can take your faith and you can match it up to the person next to you and match it up to their faith, and the person to the left of you and match it up to their faith, and somebody comes up behind you and says, you're protecting the front, well, I'm going to protect the top. You've got to have that in your life. That's what this church should be. That's what every church should be. But also, you know, there's small groups and your friends and people that you love, whatever. You need to know how to connect your faith with their faith. Their shield may be shaped a little bit different, maybe have a different design on it. Maybe it says Baptist on the front of it, and ours says Pentecostal, and this one says Methodist, and that whatever. Maybe it looks a little bit different on the side, but faith is faith, people. Faith in Jesus Christ is faith in Jesus Christ. Don't get hung up on the details. Hook your shield to their shield, and let's do something. Let's advance the enemy, because when we're hooked together like that, the enemy retreats. The enemy cannot penetrate that. When you get a group of people together that are believing on something, that have faith in something, Satan trembles. That scares him. He wants us to be isolated. He does not like this formation. He doesn't like it at all because it is so much more powerful. That is what we're called to be as the church, as the body of Christ. Not just Victory Fellowship, but the body of Christ. You guys are part of the body of Christ. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're part of the body of Christ. You're my brother. No questions asked. You're my brother, and I'll hook my shield to your shield, and we'll fight together. I'll fight for you, you fight for me. I'll protect your left side, you protect my top. Got your six, isn't that the thing? I got those things that you can't see. I'll protect that for you. That's what this is about. See, we think of the armor of God as such an individual thing, but it is not an individual thing. This is something that once we all do together, once we all really put this into action together, is so, so very powerful. So the next thing, that to me, that was the biggest one that I got out of here, that I really felt like God was showing me some stuff through that. The whole shield of faith, adding our faith together. But every element of what Paul lays out here for us is so important. So we're extinguishing these arrows. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. That helmet that they wear protects your brain. It protects what you know. It protects what you've done with your life. It protects your memories. It protects all of those things. It protects how you perceive things. See, we're supposed to see one another through the salvation that we've been given. And we need to protect that. I don't need to see your faults. I need to see you through the lens of salvation. And the lens of salvation says that I have faults. I have fallen. I have messed up. Yet I'm forgiven because I'm loved. That should change how we see people. That's to change how we see somebody else that has fallen and messed up and sinned and has come short of the glory of God. If it doesn't, we need to check ourselves. Because that's what it's all about. We've been changed, so we should see others changed. When Jesus Christ looks at you, when you've accepted His, or when God looks at you and you've accepted His Son, He sees His Son. He sees that acceptance. He sees that blood of His Son covering you, and that's what He sees. He doesn't see the failures. He doesn't see all that stuff. That's why you're chosen, not forsaken. That's why. Because He sees His Son. You've accepted that. So we must protect that helmet. The helmet of salvation protects your head. It protects what you're thinking, what you're seeing. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So finally, we've gone through all this, all these defensive weapons. We finally got an offensive weapon. It's the only offensive weapon. I kind of throw feet in there, but not really. You're protecting, you're protecting, you're protecting, you're protecting. You're not protecting with a sword. You're attacking with a sword. See, what you've got to realize, up under all those shields, every one of those jokers has got a sword, like a 3-foot-long sword that's on their waist. So under that protection, under that shield of faith, is the ability to fight, is the ability to attack, is the ability to destroy the enemy. But is it in our own power? It says that it is the sword of the Spirit. It says it's the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Over and over again, the Bible refers to Jesus as the Word. So what is our offensive weapon? What is that thing? It's kind of like our feet of the gospel of peace, but it's Jesus Christ. I'm not attacking you to kill you. I'm attacking you to kill the sin that's inside you. I'm attacking you. What I am using to attack, what I'm using to go out away from me, is the fact that Jesus loves you. That's my weapon. When they come against, in this time, when they were coming against and throwing Christians into arenas with lions, they were showing love, they were showing compassion, they were showing forgiveness, beyond what I understand. They were turning the cheek. They were showing love. That's how, if you want to defeat the enemy, you continue to show people love. You continue to forgive people like Jesus forgave you. If you want to destroy the enemy, you do those things that Jesus did. That is our offensive weapon. That is our only offensive weapon. The only time I should project anything on you is, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me show you Jesus. I want you to feel Jesus when I'm around. That is what the purpose of our offensive weapon is. Our purpose, past our defense, is to spread Jesus Christ, to spread His love, to let others know about it. So in the armor, it's all tied in. It's going to protect us, but we're still accomplishing a mission. That's why you wear this armor. It's so that you can accomplish a mission. If it was just solely for us to be protected, then we would not go into battle. If the only reason we needed this was just to protect us, God would remove us from the battle, and we wouldn't be there. The reason you have armor is because there's something you're supposed to do. Sorry, a lacrosse thing here. When you're going in, you're the attack guy, the guy that's going to run in with his lacrosse stick, and he's going to try to score a goal. Well, you're running into all these defenders, and a lot of those guys wear these really long arm pads because in lacrosse they can smack you with their sticks. So if I'm not going to do that, I don't need to buy all those pads because I'm not running in there to get hit. But if I'm going to run in there, if Isaac or Noah, whatever, whoever's playing, is going to run into the middle of all those guys with those sticks and try to score a goal, it's got a purpose. God has a purpose for you. And in that purpose, you're going to walk through people with sticks trying to hit you. You're going to walk through those fiery darts that are going to be fired at you. But that's why you need the armor. I will tell you this. Our military now wears armor. They wear bulletproof vests. They have helmets that they wear. Safety glasses they wear. There's all sorts of things that we do the best we can to protect our soldiers. Do you know after September 11th happened, nobody called me up and said, hey, I'm sending you some armor. I'm sending you a bulletproof vest. I'm sending you a helmet and all that. Nobody did that. The government did not send me one. because I was not going to fight Al-Qaeda. I didn't go sign on a dotted line to do it, so I did not need it. But there are men and women who did that, and those men and women received the best armor that we had, which I think is questionable sometimes, but they received those things. We should want to need the armor because we're doing something. We should want to be in the battle. Here's the thing about the battle. You're in the battle whether you choose to engage or not. So you can go into battle fully armored with God and what God wants for you, or you can just walk into it with nothing. But you will be attacked. There will be fiery darts shot at you. So why would you not want to do that? I think that's what Paul is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to say, take this seriously. Because what we see, this is a thing that's so hard for us to grasp, is what we see is a Wednesday night, and we're all sitting in here in our little brown chairs, and y'all are listening to me talk, and I played a funny video, and what we see is what here is here in front of us, but there's something happening that we can't see in the spiritual. Somebody in this room is struggling with depression right now. And if we could see in the spiritual, we would see a battle going on. We would see Satan coming in trying to distract you from hearing God's Word. We would see all this stuff, all these voices we could see. This is a spiritual thing, guys. And when you start to ask God to see with spiritual eyes, it's a whole different deal. When we lead worship on Sunday mornings, I feel like God shows me the spiritual. And I'm not saying that I actually see visions. And God can do that. I'm not saying He doesn't. But I see this church, and I see people, broken people in this church, and I see Satan wanting to keep them from hearing God's Word. Satan wants to keep them. So there are demons that attack this place. I'm talking real stuff. But there are angels that fight as well. And when we worship God, and when some of us worship and we come in, and Paul, if you're having a bad day and I'm leading worship, this is how I view my job. I need to hold my shield over you. I need to hold my shield over you while you regroup and while you hear what you need to hear and while you get stronger and you get ready and you can hear what God's telling you. Because tomorrow I'm going to need you to hold your shield over me. There are things that happen in the spiritual world, guys, that we do not accept, we do not see, because we're so busy with this tangible flesh and bone life that we live. There is a spirit man inside each and every one of you, and Satan hates that spirit man. He doesn't give two flips about your flesh man. It's that spirit man that he wants to destroy. So this is a real battle, guys. This is not a Sunday school lesson that's all cute, that we can get our kids dressed up, which is great, and I like that. I'm not saying anything against that because it's putting seeds in them, but it's more than just, hey, I'm putting on all my stuff. No, no, no. This is real warfare.
There's no armor on the backside, which tells us, you know, never turn your back to the battle. Always face it head on. And I can give you an example. When we had gotten the word that Judah was dead in the womb, there were two churches that gathered at that hospital, and they prayed. And they held their shield over us because they knew at that time it was to the point that we couldn't fight the battle. We were in such grieving, and God didn't look out and see Victory Fellowship and Oasis. He went out, He looked out, and He saw the armor of Christ over that place.
Amen. Absolutely. We were created to engage. He saved you for a reason. He saved you because you can make an impact. You can engage the enemy. He wants you to engage the enemy for others. Verse 18, we'll finish up here. It's 8 o'clock. Seven, we'll pick back up. So, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. prayer. Prayer is so important. We end this whole thing, all this advice on how to deal with the enemy, with prayer. What is one of the most, maybe the most important thing for a soldier on the battlefield? It's communication. You have to know what you're supposed to do. You might know I need to fight the enemy, but how do I fight the enemy? Where am I going? Where is everybody else going? What am I supposed to do? If you are cut off from communication and you don't know the plan, you are in bad shape. You're completely isolated. You can't call for help. You don't know if help's coming. You don't know if you're supposed to pivot left, pivot right, retreat, attack. You don't know what you're supposed to do. Prayer is our lifeline. Prayer is how we get things. Prayer is how we talk to God. Jesus Christ paid the highest price so that we could talk directly to God. I don't have to go to a high priest. I don't have to go to a Catholic priest with a little white collar on anymore. I can sit down right here, and just a minute ago, we prayed directly to the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe. Jehovah Jireh is who we prayed to when we were talking. Nobody else. I don't need an interpreter because He speaks Southern. He speaks everything. He knows exactly what I'm saying. And when I say, God, I need to talk to You, He's like, I'm here. Prayer is so, so important. It's how He guides us. We need to know. You know what this, that little group of people, they needed to know where to go. They needed to know, yeah, okay, we're protected, and we can get our swords where they need to go. But where are we supposed to go? We're supposed to go left, go right. If you watched on there, there was a guy standing. And they said there was one guy that would usually be with these units that would be given commands. He's standing outside and basically saying, turn left, turn right. I imagine, band or something like that. You know, turn left, turn right, whatever the command is. They're seeing what's going on and they're giving commands to those people. God is doing that for us. His Holy Spirit is doing that inside of us. He's directing us and guiding us. Prayer is the key. There's so many keys in here. It's all important. Our faith walk must be intentional. We're in this battle whether we like it or not. I'm making sure I'm telling you everything I feel like God wanted us to say. Tap into God's promises and plans. God wants warriors. And I just want to follow back up. We're in the first part of Ephesians, it says we are giving authority and blessing in heavenly realms. We have a purpose, guys. Do not just meander through this life and just say, you know, I'll be a Christian when I can, and yeah, I love God. We have to be intentional. And this is why I say this so much for me, because so many days, guys, I want to tell you right now, I am not intentional in my faith. So many days I get up and think, if I can just... I'm telling you, this week has been on my I'm worried about this week for a month, because we have so many things going on. It's like kids going everywhere. We're doing stuff, doing a wedding this weekend. We have to be 100 places at one time, and it's bothered me. It stole my peace a little bit. And how many times have I got up and said, God, I'm just going to put this in Your hands, and I'm just going to take this step and this step and this step and not worry about it. I don't. I try to look on down the road of, oh, how are we going to make this happen? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And God's like, why don't you just put it in My hands? Why don't you just pray? Why don't you put your armor on? And I'll take you to each battle, and we'll fight each battle as they come. We're not worried about the battle next week. We're forgetting about what happened yesterday. We're going to fight this one in front of us. And I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to be all right. Because it says in His Word, if we do these things, that we'll be successful. All right. And I think that's it. Has anybody got anything they want to add to that? Please do.
I mean, it's no coincidence, because I left work and went straight to a Bible study, and we were talking about this very thing. And one thing that just really jumped out at me about the breastplate of righteousness is guarding our heart. And the Word of God tells us so many times to guard our hearts. Above all, guard your hearts. That's what the enemy goes after. He wants to pierce our heart. He wants us to be hurt. He wants us to be hurt with each other. He wants us to walk around with pain in our heart. And when He penetrates, it spreads to our mind. What hurt us in our heart, it attacks our mind. It attacks our bodies. It attacks everything. And we've got to guard our heart. And one thing that jumped out at me, the breastplate of righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ. And it's not our works. It's not what we do. So whoever hurt your heart, that breastplate of righteousness is for them too. And I guess what I'm saying, every piece of this armor is Christ. I mean, you look at every label up there, that is Jesus. That is Jesus. And that person, or what the enemy wants us to be isolated. He doesn't want us to need each other. We do need each other, but He doesn't want us to think that we need each other. But we desperately need each other. And so we've got to remember, guard your heart and don't let anything penetrate. And when we're hurt, it cripples us and it paralyzes us and it keeps us from flourishing and being all that God created us to be. Let's let Him come in and let's let Him heal. Let's let Him, the healer, the defender, the everything, let's let Him come in and heal our hearts so that we can be that on the battlefield that He's called us to be. Don't hide and don't run. We need each other. We need each other. We need to love each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for that one that hurt us. We need to pray for those that despitefully use us. The Lord's got an answer for every bit of it. And when we do, when we say yes and we submit to God and we resist the devil, then He's got to flee. He's got to flee. So don't let Him win. Don't let Him win. Pick up that shield of faith. Pick up that sword of the Spirit. Pick it up and gain back your ground.
One thing I'll add and we'll go, but He wants to wound us. In warfare, in battle, one strategy is not to necessarily kill your enemy, especially if you're fighting a somewhat civilized enemy, is if I can wound one, then I can take three off the battlefield. Because they're going to help that guy get off the battlefield. So I'm not only taking that one soldier off the battlefield, I'm taking two of his buddies off because I got to drag him out of there. So that's less enemy that I've got to fight. Satan so many times wounds the people in church. And when we get wounded, no matter what, we take other people with us. Somebody hurts us in church. Hey, well, so, you know, I'm going to tell Kami and I'm going to tell whoever that, you know, I got hurt. And then, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to drag her out too. I'm going to drag her down emotionally. I'm going to drag her down. So if we can, when we do get wounded, and it's going to happen, sometimes those things are going to get past our armor. They're just going to happen. How do we deal with that? Do we say, oh, God doesn't really love me? Do we tear things down? Do we take more people off the battlefield? Or do we lift that situation up and just get ourselves back there as quick as we can? But so many times, you take that one, then you're going to take a lot of people. So let's be that positive influence. Let's be that influence that sees things through that helmet of salvation and that sees that righteousness in others and not the bad things and spreading the bad things and just, you know. So, if you want to start some music, and I don't know how you guys need to respond, however you want to respond. I really just, it was more of a teaching thing. I wanted, especially some of you guys maybe that hadn't been exposed to this particular verse and everything, but also a reminder to us people that have been in this battle for a little while that sometimes we get up and we walk out the door without our armor on and we're not ready and we get hurt. And that's really what I wanted to do tonight. But you guys feel free to come up and take communion and deal with whatever you need to deal with. And I'm just going to close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for Your Word. We thank You for what it teaches us. what it shows us about you, how you want to protect us. You even give us ways to be protected. You tell us and spell it out. Say, if you will do this, if you will do this, if you will do this, you will be protected. Just like we tell our children to be careful and to walk on the sidewalk and all these things. If they'll do what we tell them, they'll be protected. And you do that for us, God, because you love us. You care about us. You sent your Son to die for us, God. So we thank you, God, for these words that the Apostle Paul wrote so many years ago that are still so applicable to us today, God. We thank you for that, Lord. I lift up everyone in this room tonight, God. People that maybe have little places in their armor that are exposed, and maybe they've got the belt on, but they don't have the breastplate on, and maybe they can get the helmet on, but they're having a hard time with their shoes. Whatever it may be tonight, God, I pray that you come in and you help us put that on. Because we have this armor bearer called Jesus Christ who comes and he wants to help us out and he wants to make sure that we've got everything on that we need to have on. God, I pray that we accept that, God, that we see that, Lord, and I pray that we never forget that sometimes we need to hook our shields together. We need to hook our faith together so that we can protect ourselves and so we can accomplish the mission that you want us to accomplish, God. Lord, we love you tonight, God. We thank you so much for this opportunity, God. And just be with us and continue to teach us and continue to love us. We know you do, God. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.